with it. For the last couple of years, we have read three scripture passages together each week. And I want to introduce, we're going to introduce over this year, 12 more passages. We've had, so far, we've worked on 25 passages over the last 2 years. And we're going to introduce a new passage this morning. And I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. This is a passage that comes from the book of Habakkuk. And if you've been coming on Wednesday nights when we're doing the study of the Bible Project, this is actually what we will be discussing this coming Wednesday night, is the book of Habakkuk. I invite you to read with me these words. These are the last three verses of the book of Habakkuk. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet to be like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. One of the things I would point out about the, in fact, let's just kind of walk through the book of Habakkuk. It's only three chapters, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but I just want to point out how this book works. What are you reading when you read the book of Habakkuk? What's going on here? First of all, notice in chapter 1, verse 1, it says that this is the oracle. That's the way mine translates it. The word oracle is related to the word oral. It just means a spoken message. And so this is a spoken message, but notice you might expect it to say, a spoken message that Habakkuk the prophet heard. But that's not what it says. It says, and the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. And the reason that it says that is that very often prophets receive the message from God in visual form, a vision. And so Habakkuk is shown a vision in which he has a conversation with God. One of the unique things about the book of Habakkuk, in most prophetic books, God speaks to the prophet who then speaks to the people. That gets reversed in the book of Habakkuk. In the book of Habakkuk is speaking, I think, probably at least for himself, maybe on behalf of the people, but his message is now directed to God. And he has some questions for God. You ever have questions for God? Habakkuk has some questions for God. And he basically says, I cannot figure this out. I don't understand what's happening here. You ever feel that way? And so it's this oracle, and in verses 2 through 4, the prophet says, things are terrible among my people. It is a mess. Again, you ever feel that way? That you live among a people that are a mess? And he sums it all up in verse 4 when he says, I'll tell you what it looks like to me is the law is paralyzed. Nobody is listening to what you want, God. The law is paralyzed. Right things never seem to come out on top. And then in chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, he says, God replies. It's a two-way conversation in this vision. And God replies to Habakkuk. And God says in verse 5 of chapter 1, literally it says, you shall wonder a wonder. There's something wonderful at work, in spite of the fact that all you can see is pathology, things that have gone wrong. The fact is, you're going to wonder a wonder at what I'm doing. You won't believe it when I tell you. That's a way of saying, that's what God's saying to Habakkuk. You won't believe it. I'm going to tell you what I'm doing, but you won't believe it. And he says in verse 6, you see, what I'm doing is I am raising up the Chaldeans, who otherwise are also called the Babylonians. I am raising up the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to bring judgment on my people, because the law is paralyzed. And Habakkuk does wonder a wonder here. He doesn't know what to make of this. And in chapter 1, verses 12 through chapter 2, verse 1, he has another complaint to offer to God. And basically what he says is, them? Really? You're going to use people like the Chaldeans to bring judgment on us? We are bad, but they are worse. How can you use people worse than us to bring judgment on us? We don't understand this. I don't understand this. And so in chapter 2, verse 1, if you're looking at your Bible, in chapter 2, verse 1, he basically says, so I'm going to become a watchman. I'm going to stand at my post, and I'm going to say, see how you're going to respond to this one. How can you use people worse than us to bring judgment on us when we're bad? It's not a bad question. But it's interesting in chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, to look at God's response. Because God's response basically is, you write this down. Just write this down. You've got this vision. I'm showing you this vision. Write down the vision. And the vision is that the one, verse 4, the one who is puffed up, that's the Chaldeans, the Babylonians. I'm going to let the air out of them. They are puffed up about themselves, and you just know this. I'm going to use them for my purposes, but eventually I'm going to let the air out of them. They're puffed up, but they won't stay puffed up. And then he says in the last part of verse 4, something that Paul will quote in the book of Romans. And that is in chapter 2, verse 4, he says, so here's what I'm going to do with these Chaldeans. You're asking about them. I'm going to deal with them at some point. But the righteous will live by trust. The righteous will live, the synonym for trust, faith. You're going to have to trust me on this. That's what God is saying. You're going to have to trust me that I am in control of this world, whether you can understand what I'm doing or not. I am, in fact, at the wheel, whether you get it or not. And in chapter 2, verses 5 through 19, he has five different woes. Now, W-O-E, woe, that means you're in trouble. That's what that means. Five different times he says to the Chaldeans, woe to you. You are in trouble. He is stressing to Habakkuk, you rightly are concerned about the evil of the Chaldeans, but here's what you need to know. I know what they're like. And I will deal with them. So five different times in verses 5 through 19, he says, woe to you. And he's talking to the Chaldeans. But then in chapter 2, verse 20, there is a hymn that actually comes from this verse. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. When I was a boy, I remember we had a song leader that would start singing that song when the crowd was still talking and they needed to settle down. There's a lot more to that verse than just settle the crowd down. One of the things that you need to understand when you read about God being in the temple is it's not that he's sitting in the Holy of Holies twiddling his thumbs or looking at his phone. It's he is at work when he is in the temple. He is at work controlling the whole world, the cosmos. That this is his, the way you ought to think about the Holy of Holies in the temple is it's the God's control booth for the cosmos. And do you hear what Habakkuk is being told by God in chapter 2, verse 20? It's one of the great verses in the Bible. The emphasis there is on is. The Lord is at the wheel. The Lord is sitting in the control booth, and he is attentive, and he knows what's going on in our world. It is a reassurance. When we wonder, is God paying attention? Is God attentive? Does God know what's happening? Chapter 2, verse 20 of Habakkuk reminds us, yes, God is in the holy temple, his holy temple. And so let all the earth keep silent before him. Chapter 3 is Habakkuk's response to the truth that God is at the wheel. And it is a prayer of praise that concludes with the words we read just a moment ago. This is the conclusion of his prayer. It looks back to chapter 2, verse 20. It is saying, if in spite of the fact, if everything my eyes can see is failure, is disaster, is disappointment, is painful, the fact is, here's why I can take joy. Because I know that God is at the wheel. And this is going to turn out okay. That God, the Lord, is my strength. And he makes my feet like the deer's. And he makes me tread on high places. In the year 631 BC, 631 years before the birth of Jesus, Assyria was on top of the world. You open any newspaper, you look at any media reports, and you ask who's the most powerful country in the world, in that part of the world, and everybody's answer is going to be Assyria. It's what today is Iraq. And yet, within 25 years, Assyria is nothing. The last strong Assyrian king dies about 5 years after Assyria is at its peak. And in 612 BC, the capital city of Assyria falls to a group of people who formerly were being controlled by Assyria, and now they've rebelled against Assyria. And they were the Chaldeans, or another name for them is the Babylonians. The capital, this is like saying Washington, D.C. is gone. Nineveh falls in 612 B.C. Notice this is less than 20 years later. When Assyria is at the peak of its power, its capital falls less than two decades later. And in 609 B.C., the last Assyrian army that is existing is defeated by the Babylonians. And then Babylon defeats Egypt in 605 B.C., and takes the first Judeans captive into exile in Babylon. Among them is the man named Daniel. Babylon, the Chaldeans, are the bully on the block right now. But you should remember, it was only 25 years earlier Assyria was. And so here's why that's important. Habakkuk is writing in about 605 BC. And Daniel and his compadres are about to be taken to Babylon. And Habakkuk's got some more to try to make sense of when that happens. So Habakkuk says, God, are you ignoring our sins? That should be 1 through 4. And then in 5 through 11, so you're going to wonder a wonder, God says, I'm going to raise up these Chaldeans. And in chapter 1, 12 through 2, 1, them? Really? You would do that? You've got a strange choice in allies. Them? And then chapter 2, verses 2 through 4, God says, well, those who do what's right, that's what righteousness is, those who do what's right must live by trust. Your eyes will deceive you. If you're just going by what you can see with your eyes, you'll be disappointed. You serve an unseen God who works behind the scenes in ways that will amaze you. I don't know if you get worried about the situation the world is in. Wars and countries that want to try to dominate and take the land of other places. But one thing you should understand is God is doing some things we don't know that never will be in the newspapers or on the internet. We were talking in our trip yesterday when we traveled, talking a little bit about where there are Christians. I keep reading, and they don't know because they lived in a closed off country. But it's assumed that there are underground house churches in the country of China right now of followers of Jesus Christ. And there are millions and millions of people doing that. And so you worry about China and you worry about the economy and you worry about their military might. But you know what? I suspect that God is doing some things that we don't even know and may never know. That God is doing things with the good news of Jesus that would surprise you, that would shock you in the same way that Habakkuk gets shocked here. I hear a similar thing in the nation of Iran. Look it up. You can read some, there's some things available you can read about this. That there, and because it's a closed off country, it's hard to know for sure. But the suspicion is There are underground churches of followers of Jesus in Iran that would amaze you if you were to know exactly what's going on there. Nations are not as strong as they think they are or as they want you to think they are. And who knows what God may be doing in our world. The righteous will live on trust, on faith. There are these five woes on Babylon, but notice at verse 20, that's that verse. That's the one you want to hang on to. The Lord is, underline that is, in his holy temple. God is running the show. And our response to that rightly would be the same response that Habakkuk has to what he hears and what he sees. Praise. A prayer of praise. Why? Because God rules the nations of this world. And the ways of all nations matter to God, both good and bad. God knows when evil is being done, and God will not forever let that go on. When the law seems paralyzed, wherever that is true in the world, God will at some point address that. God is doing something about the wrong among nations in our world. And the right thing to do for us is not to despair. It is not to be preoccupied with pathology. What's wrong? Let's leave that to the guys who have all the talking to do on TV. And talk about what they do not know. But let us trust and wait for this unseen God, who is unseen, but who is very real. I invite you to read with me again, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree should not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, and the fields yield no food, the flock will be cut off from the fold, and there will be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will take joy in the God of my salvation. God, the Lord, is my strength. He makes my feet like the deer's. He makes me tread on high places. We'll keep reading this over the course of this year. And I hope it will remind you of the message of the book of Habakkuk. It may be there's someone here this morning.